preaching this good news, the gospel. And you're going to go out, as we read in Acts 1:8, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the earth. You're going to be my witnesses everywhere of these things. So the hope is not just for us here now in this place. The hope has been for all people at all times and in all nations. And our preaching has to be good so we can make sure that we bring people to that hope, that we bring people to the truth of that hope. When I look at this, I was just encouraged this week that we have to continue to preach God's word. It's not about imparting more knowledge. It's not about giving you more Bible facts. It's about making sure that we don't forget what God has done, what he is doing and what he will do, past, present, and future. He's forgiven my past sins. He's forgiving right now my present sins. He will forgive my future sins. He is healing me from my past. He's bringing hope right now, and he'll bring me restoration in the future. And we need to be reminded of that. And we take it for granted that we can come and hear a message every week or every day or every hour, every minute in this world that we live in. There are people in the world who would kill for this opportunity. Well, they wouldn't kill, they would die for it. Then they have died for it. There are people in the world who don't get God's word in abundance like we do. They can't hear God's message preached like we get to. And they want that. Have you ever seen video of Bibles being smuggled into a country where they're not allowed and people get the word of God for the first time? A few years back, I was moved to tears in a video of people smuggling Bibles into mainland China and handing the Bibles out. And they're just a rush of people coming to grab that word. And I'll never forget the scene of one woman who grabbed a Bible and for the longest time wouldn't take the plastic off of it, just held it. And then she finally tore the plastic off of it and she just smelled it. And she just wept as she smelt this Bible. And then she finally opened it up, and as she opened it up and saw God's word and started to read it in her own language, she just wept even more. And there wasn't enough Bibles, but what they tell us is for every Bible smuggled into a country where it's not allowed, it'll be read by, I don't know what the average, I mean, no, it's something like hundreds of people. They'll share those Bibles. They'll rip out pieces one chapter at a time. They'll read it and then pass it on to the next person to read it. And it'll make the circle, the cycle, because they don't have it available to them. And we take it for granted. And I'm not just begging you to like my sermons, okay? I'm begging you to want to hear God's word. There are times we have recorded in the Old Testament when the law, the word that they had, was put away and forgotten about. And I don't have time to go into that today, but there's Nehemiah 8 where Ezra brings out the law and reads it because they had rebuilt the temple and they're rebuilding the walls, and they asked him as the priest to bring out the word and to read it. And it says he read it from dawn to noon. You think my sermons are long? Dawn to noon, and they probably went longer. And they asked him to stand and read it, and they stood. They didn't sit in soft little maroon padded seats. No guilt. But they stood from dawn to noon to lunchtime. Stood, man, woman, and child, listening to the word of God being preached, being read. 2 Kings 22 and 23, Josiah comes in as an 8-year-old king. Young king, living the way of David, not the way of his predecessors who were bad kings. He's a good king. And around the age of 18, he's made aware of the fact that somebody had found the law of God that had been forgotten by the bad kings. And when he found it, and it was read to him, he ripped his clothing. And he wept. And he said, "Gather the people, we're going to read the word of God." And the people came together from all over Judah and Jerusalem, and they came together and they stood once again to hear the word of God preached. And he renewed the covenant with God and his people at that place, and the people renewed their covenant with their God in that moment. Our world, we get to hear preaching, and yet we live in a world, we live in a country where it can easily seem that the word of God has been put in a closet somewhere and we've forgotten about it. Let's not take it for granted that we get to listen to it. We get to celebrate what God has done, what he's going to do, and what he will eventually make right completely. Let's not forget that. Let's not take for granted the fact that we get to hear God's word and hear it spoken, that we get to study it, that we get to read it. And I don't have to tell you God's truth. You can read it for yourself. We just come to do this corporately together because it's a powerful moment when we do. But pick it up, read it. And I'll tell you, I don't take it lightly. Pastor Dustin doesn't take it lightly. And I ask that you don't take it lightly. We prepare our hearts to come on Sunday morning and share. I ask you, prepare your heart to come and to hear from God's word. Make sure you do that. Right now, we're going to shift to communion. And I thought this was very fitting that we do this after this, because the word guides us back to what God has done, is doing, and will do. And what the table does is remind us of what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do in our life. If you're a guest with us today, if you're a follower of Christ, you're welcome to come to the table. So we always say around here, it doesn't belong to us, it doesn't belong to our denomination, to this church. It belongs to Christ. We have a bunch of crosses set up around the room, 3 in the back, 2 in the front here. And as you come, we ask that you come, if you've accepted Christ and you believe in that message of hope that he's died for you and raised again, and that we come together to be reminded of what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do through his broken body and through his shed blood. So as we come to the table, just come as you feel led. We'll have some music on in the background. If you can't get up to come to the table, Ed Fuelbrandt will have some of the elements, and he'll come to you. Just flag him down, and he'll serve you where you are. But as you come, just remember that the gospel comes at a price. Comes at a price of Christ's literal body broken and his blood shed on the cross for us. So as you come, be reminded of the fact that the body was broken. The bread represents that. As you take that element, don't forget that. As you take the cup, don't forget that this is symbolic of actual blood shed for you, that you might walk with him. So I'm going to just pray for our communion time. We're going to play the music in the background. Please come to one of the tables as you feel led. You can stay up here, come to the altar, kneel. You can find friends or family to pray with. You can move around the room however you need to. Just do what you need to do to celebrate and remember what he's done for us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your life, your death, your resurrection. We thank you for the scripture that tells us about that process from the very beginning, beyond the beginning of time, to the very end and beyond the end of time. Lord, you had a plan. And your scripture tells us about that. So we thank you that, Father, we come to hear your word, that we might hear the truth of the gospel, the truth of your scripture, and that we might know false teaching when we hear it. Father, we come that we might be reminded of what you have done, what you are doing in our life, and what you will do someday. And we come to celebrate that even at this table at this moment. We thank you for the bread that represents your body, the cup that represents your blood that was shed. And as we come together, Father, we simply ask that you would be honored and glorified in our action today. So as we come, we just commit our time to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.